Welcome to LOA Today. I'm Walt Thiessen here with Alex King and Daniel Mangana. Today is Tuesday, May the 26th, 2020, 4 p.m. New York time and wherever you are in the world. Thank you for joining us for another episode of LOA Today, your daily dose of happy. And we are, of course, in the midst of this ongoing pandemic thingy and doing our best to help raise vibrations. We're going to help raise your vibration today. We're going to help raise Alex's vibration. We're going to help raise everybody's vibration today. And that's it. That's the agenda for today. So.
Okay.
And Daniel's already set because he's got his background set to the palm trees and beaches. So that's helping to raise vibration. So
vibration raising is a lot of fun.
It is a lot of fun, isn't it? It feels good. It feels really, really good. I wanted to tell everybody about something that I started talking about a little bit last Friday, I think it was, maybe Thursday. How I had been wanting for the longest time to create an app for the program for LOA Today. But creating apps are actually fairly challenging. And, if you go out to get the stuff that's available in the marketplace, they're pretty limited in what they can do. And I have all these dreams that I want to do with these apps. First of all, I want people to be able to just listen to the episodes, but I want them to be able to interact with us and see information about us, and we can, you know, just share all kinds of stuff. You can just keep adding on to apps and just increase the interaction with the listener base. And one of the things that I had been kind of resisting, I won't say kind of, I had actually been resisting, was my ability to create the app. I have some programming skills, but I have dug into it and apps are pretty challenging. I have learned the hard way just how challenging they are. And I thought it was going to be a long time before I could do it. But at the end of Friday's show, I think it was Linda and Rita, I mentioned this on the air, and both of them were encouraging me. And I was saying, well, you know, it may only be a matter of a couple months instead of years at this point. They said, oh, come on, go for better than that. Go for days. So I said, okay, yeah, it'll be a matter of days. I had no idea how to make that happen. But over the weekend, it kind of got the gearbox going, and I put out some feelers. I tried to find some programmers and so forth. It didn't really go anywhere. And then, because I'd kind of taken the pressure off myself by looking for programmers, I found myself looking at the challenges that are involved, the programming challenges, in a different way. And suddenly they seemed easier, which I guess isn't terribly surprising, but right. it was certainly surprising in that, wow, I was actually experiencing it. That was pretty cool. So I've been kind of digging into it since then. And you know what? I'm actually pretty close to being able to put together a basic app. I've got a few more issues to iron out, but that's pretty cool stuff, you know? Now, I'm not saying it's going to be ready this week. Don't count on that. It's going to be a little while, but I'm close. I've got like two issues that I have to iron out, and then I can put out a very basic app that the first app will just have like a list of here's what the shows are you can listen to, and you press a button, you listen to the show. That'll be the app. But as time goes on, of course, you can update apps, and we'll just keep updating and updating and updating, so... I just thought I'd share that little piece of information.
I love it. There's the micro.
Well, this is news to me.
Well, it's news to most people. I mean, the only people who knew for sure are regular listeners who listen to every single episode, and even they didn't know completely for sure. So.
Well, I knew you were working on your gardening app. I didn't know that we were getting an app, too. That's exciting.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the gardening app was obviously my training ground, and still is my training ground because it's not done yet. But it kind of got the wheels turning. And made me think.
Right.
And the other thing I was thinking about too, I kept thinking about, okay, certainly I've been, and we have all been putting out there, we want more listeners and listeners have been showing up and so forth, but I also want to accelerate the process. So I was thinking, how can I kind of help move it a little further along? So I kept looking for that thing we call inspired inspiration and inspirational action, that kind of thing. And anytime something came along, I would act on it, but still was looking for it. And it occurred to me, I think because of the show that we did on Thursday, Alex, where we were talking about games that people play, I started thinking about games, and games are really, really popular. Now, I really have no desire to try to learn how to program a video game in an app. Let me tell you, that's way beyond where I am right now.
But I talked to Carlos's brother.
Well, that's true. Yeah, it brings some other people in. If you can get, that's the hard part, actually getting people to be a part of it who have skill sets. That's one of the things that
I'm sure there's white labels for at least the basic that you can tweak. I had the same with my Micro to Millions app, which I've got stuck in the changing the bits. But like there's a core basic thing and then getting the different plugins to do the different bits that I want it to do. Mm-hmm. And Bob's Your Uncle, I've got an app that I can now use to give to people.
What do you use? You said you have a white label. Is this something like an open source thing or what is it?
Yeah, so basically, because obviously it's a community-based app, we've mm-hmm. added functions that I want for my members to be able to communicate with each other.
Right.
So you get the core app, which has like basic functions, and then you can pick which ones you do and don't want. And then I've got plugins like for them to be able to have their own profile and communicate with each other and do bulletin boards and to be able to stream content in and stuff like that. And I just basically grabbed the plugins to do all of that. But the cool thing is I can get any plugins I want built to add to the basic app. And so when I'm thinking about even your LOA Today app, games are cool. Mm. And if you talk and based on the email that I saw, mm-hmm. based on existing things anyway, so there's probably going to be some game out there that's got the basics and contacting the creator of that and saying, hey, you know, the open source app or the plugin that you've got does this, this, and this. We want to change the names to this and the prizes to this. That's essentially all you're doing.
What framework are you working on? I mean, I don't want to get too detailed because obviously we're here to help people feel good, but I still want to know this information.
There's a platform called moo.com.
Moo, M-U?
M-O-O.
M-O-O, okay.
Yeah.
Cow, got it.
Yeah. Moo.
I'll check that one out.
Yeah, check them out. But but the bottom line is, in terms of just opening up to the infinite possibilities of this thing, what you're talking about isn't really that far off at all.
I'm not even by the hour. I mean,
I'm not even in your world, and I'm like, yeah, but that's just tweaking that and that. Mm.
Well, I'll definitely take a look at moo.com. I'm curious about it. I mean, I've checked out a lot of these things, but I hadn't heard of that one, so I'm very curious.
Moo or moo something, but it was moo. And apps, I'm sure you'll find it.
That sounds great. I love it.
Oh my god.
Yeah, well actually the email that Daniel was referencing there was one I sent to Dan and to Alex, just kind of throwing an idea. The idea of, well, yes, games are popular. Usually they're played on a device, on a phone or something like that, or a tablet. Mm-hmm. But out of the conversation you and I had on Thursday, Alex, I also realized that there's some interest these days in what we used to call parlor games, you know, games that are mm-hmm. not played online. Mm-hmm. And I got to thinking, well, geez, I wonder if we could adapt something like that. Maybe do like a game show. And that's what I wrote to you guys about, the mm-hmm. idea of doing a game show.
And I didn't recognize 90% of the games.
I only recognize one.
Maybe it's because I'm a foreigner. I'm not really sure.
Well, apparently, parlor style games are not terribly popular. Otherwise, you would have heard of them. But a couple of those were. One was a famous TV show, so I hope that's the one you heard of. If you hadn't,
that's
heard
the
of
one
that
I
one.
Heard of. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The other two. One was a television show. One is on NPR radio, and one is one that came up in the conversation we had on Thursday. One of our live streamers mentioned it, and I looked it up. It was the first I'd heard of that one. The one I think everybody's heard of is Jeopardy. The other one that was on TV, Whose Line Is It Anyway, was hosted by Drew Carey for a number of years, and they get a bunch of.
Now it's hosted by Aisha Tyler.
Yep. Okay. And they get some comedians on there, and they'd start off with some sort of little skit, and then the comedians would just go. They'd run riot over it, and
yeah.
If they had good comedians, it was funny. If they didn't have good comedians, it was pretty flat.
Yeah.
And not exactly.
It's an improv game show.
It's very improv, yeah. And, mm-hmm. and it's not, I mean, it's people trying to be funny, and we know how challenging that is. Anytime you try to be funny, you're not likely
probably
to be
not.
Yeah, it's got to be kind of impromptu. So I'm amazed that the show ran as long as it did, to be perfectly honest. Anyway, and then the other one was a show, I think it's still a show that runs on NPR radio called Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. They call it the Radio News Quiz Show. And they get some top level celebrities, usually like B level celebrities, coming on, and they do the show. And the question and answer format is based on current news events, mm-hmm. and they're supposed to answer, you know, here's this crazy thing that they found in the news. Can you say what the thing was that happened? And they're supposed to fill in the blank on whatever happened. And it's okay. But the problem
with in the U-List, whose line is it anyway?
Yeah, whose line is it anyway? That was the TV show.
Yeah. I think I do recognize that one.
Yeah.
That was on my don't recognize list, but I think it just hopped on the list. Yeah.
Look at you.
It did have one or two really good episodes. The others were kind of flat. The one that I really liked, not surprisingly, was where Robin Williams was a guest. And
oh, wow.
Just imagine what it was like to have him in that game. Yeah, that was just, that was crazy. Drew basically threw his cards on the floor. He said, I'm done.
I can see that happening.
Yeah. But I don't really see that one as being something we can easily translate. The one that I think it was Jeffrey mentioned in the live stream last Thursday, I had never heard of, Quiplash. I looked that one up. That actually looks like that could be something we could adapt. Because basically all you do with that one is the way it's actually a game that's sold by a company called Jackbox, I think it is.
Which originally their first game they came out with was You Don't Know Jack. That's where Jackbox came from.
Oh, okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Okay. And
why do I know so much about games? What is happening?
I don't know. At first you would say you didn't know any of them. Now all of a sudden.
Yeah, this game out of nowhere. All this, I have random bits of information that run through my head. Well, nothing to do with nothing, but still.
Now we got the random bits of information coming out of your mouth. So this is an improvement.
I always have useless facts ready, willing, and able.
See, you were born for this.
RWA. RWAUS. US.
But the Quiplash concept was pretty simple because all their game does is it gives you a little phrase and with a blank at the end, and you fill in the blank with whatever you want to fill it in with. And apparently, the way the game usually gets played, it turns rather crude and rude pretty quickly, but. It also seems to be pretty popular. A lot of people seem to like to play that. So
yeah, it's the crude and rude part that's popular.
Yeah, I would imagine that's probably true. But
because you're thinking if you're chilling out with your friends, you're playing a little bit, then you start to get to drinking, now it's getting rude, and that's where all the fun comes in.
Josie was giving us a couple examples, like Neville Trivia with Cindy. Okay. Oh, that's different. And Soul Family Feud.
Wow.
Okay.
I wouldn't even know how to put that together.
I'm not sure. I mean, you could get sued really quickly doing that game, I think.
Yeah, especially because I feel like Daniel has a great Steve Harvey impression coming on.
Really?
I mean, it may wait until we actually do the game, but I feel like it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. I don't think so. I don't have the teeth for it.
And Josie's asking if I'd ever seen the show Quantum Leap with Scott Bakula. I have not. Have you guys seen
that? Yes. Quantum Leap is an amazing show. Amazing.
Gone Before It's Time.
And he never, do you know what? I'm quite sad that he had that, and then he had nothing, and then he had Enterprise, which I never really got into. Mm. It's like, whatever happened to you, bro? Like, you were ahead of your time. Mm-hmm. No respect.
How long did that show last?
5-6 years, I think.
I watched it in reruns because it was before our time. Yeah. So I don't even know. I don't even know how it ended. Did he ever get home?
I don't want to spoil it if you haven't seen it.
Bro, it's like a 70-year-old show. Like, you can spoil it. It's okay.
So basically,
I remember that one now. I do know that.
He kind of got home, and he had the opportunity to stay or to go back into his mission. And like, he forgot he had a wife. And then she's like, yeah, if I told you, then you wouldn't have been able to do your mission and everything that you had to do and blah, blah, blah. And then he decided to go back in. And then it went on this like weird cycle of things. And he ended up going back into Sam's life to do something for Sam. And then it kind of ends on like this weird, beautiful sort of French cinema style cliffhanger.
Okay. I'm going to have to look that up.
Beautiful.
If I'm remembering the show correctly, wasn't it the case that whenever the episode that you were watching was coming to an end, he would leap at the end of the episode to something else, and that would be for the next episode.
Because he didn't really know what he was there for. Mm. He had to kind of work it out.
Yeah, that's what the whole episode was
and
about.
And as soon as, when he did work it out, then there'd be this like, beautiful moment, and then he'd like quantum leap out. And then he'd always look in the mirror and be like, oh boy.
Yeah. That's right, because it's some new version of himself that was a completely different version from the last version.
My favorite episode was the episode where he was a woman. I was like, this is going
to
be exciting.
Oh, yeah. He had to like have sex with his husband. And do you know what? There's a couple of shows that talk about moving consciousness that I found really powerful. The one, Travelers, which is really underrated. The Travelers show on...
Was that on Netflix?
Yeah.
Yeah. Tried to get into it. I was just like,
No. It kicks off. And the way that they wrapped that was they got a hand clap. They ended that.
I mean, the concept was awesome. I was just bored with the writing, I guess.
No, it picks up, yo. Like,
okay.
It picks up and gets some fire in it. But I can see where they kind of took the sliders, not the sliders, the quantum leap thing of moving the consciousness.
Yeah.
And it brings up so many great concepts and ideas about mortality. And another really cool one was Sliders. Did you ever watch Sliders?
Sliders. Why does that sound familiar?
Jeffrey says Sliders was great too. And they also make delicious appetizers.
They make who?
Oh, goodness, Jeffrey.
Jeffrey says they also make delicious appetizers. So.
Very true. Very true.
Very true, Jeffrey.
Especially White Castle sliders.
Mm-hmm. I have to say, although I stay away from junk food as much as possible when I'm north of the border, there are some junk foods that I eat and pray about later, and one of them is the White Castle slider, especially when
Monster
is created.
It's something about those onions, man.
They'll get you every time.
Every time.
Yeah.
So, okay. I have no idea how we would turn any of these into game shows, but they're interesting. I mean, Quantum Leaping, yeah.
Yeah. I would say we start off with just a trivia day and then work our way up from there as we get more advanced.
I have an idea about how the Quantum Leap concept can be overlaid with something else.
Ooh.
Okay. Almost like, who am I? But like, you take on the consciousness of someone else. And we're really just sort of adding some layers to the game itself. But the whole thing of embodying it, maybe even going through a process of sliding in or quantum leaping someone else, and then okay, this is who I am. I don't know. I think there's some fun stuff. I mean, something works. Sometimes it's just a matter of just adding a little tweak to it for it to work the way you work.
Mm-hmm.
I do think an important piece has to be audience participation.
Yes.
I mean, first of all, we've got some great live streamers. We got to include them.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, I think it's also how you kind of build the base out, because when people realize they can participate and have fun doing it, it's going to be more interesting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
audience engagement in the process.
That engagement is everything.
Wasn't quite Steve, but you know.
Work on it.
Alex is just like, bro. Just bro. Bro.
Okay. So, well, Alex, you mentioned trivia. I thought about trivia. And the only challenging thing about trivia is you got to come up with a lot of questions.
Yeah, you do. Especially to fill an hour.
Jeopardy has 60 questions for half an hour.
Ooh, I didn't think of that.
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot of questions.
Mm.
That's kind of why I was thinking about the Quiplash thing, because that one, you just come up with some line and everybody just spends time filling it in. You get, you know, 7 or 8 people playing it. That could take 10 minutes to do a single round.
Now, how are we going to determine if someone had Googled an answer or not?
I don't think you can prevent that. I don't see a way to avoid that.
So we're just going to go with the honor system.
But it doesn't necessarily have to. See, that was the other thing I liked about the Quiplash idea, because Quiplash, there's no wrong answers.
Mm.
It's just, you know, whatever you want to say to kind of fill in the blank.
It depends on who's picking the card. That's how that person wins that round.
Well, the main candidate doesn't want to accept this.
The what? The main candidate.
enemy doesn't want to accept this.
Oh, no.
There must be a winner.
No, you can win. But it goes around. So, like, say the three of us are playing. Well, it would have to be four, because otherwise...
Nobody wins. That's just...
No. There's a winner.
Really? It doesn't sound like
so, a winner. Okay, so say me, one, two, three. So say the four, three of us and Jeffrey are playing. Okay, so he would pick a card that says, Neville Goddard was famous for saying this.
Mm-hmm.
And then we each pick an answer, and whoever... Mm-hmm. Let's say it was Jeffrey's card. Whoever's card Jeffrey picks wins that round. And whoever has the most cards at the end of the game, that's who wins.
Okay.
An alternative way to do the same thing, and I saw this in the Jackbox video, is you have your fill in the blank. Everybody gives whatever answer they want to give for fill in the blank. And then all the players vote on which of the answers they like the best. And each person who gets a vote, their vote total increases.
Okay.
So
I do everybody like that. Wins.
Then you have elimination rounds, and you know, you drop one person, drop another person until you're down to your last two, and they are the semifinalists or the finalists, and they play it off until you
quarterfinalists.
Yeah. We start with, like, I don't know, seven or eight people. That would easily take up an hour.
Yeah.
Then you probably only have to have like seven or eight things to fill in. It's not like mm-hmm. you have to have a whole bunch of them, right?
Right.
I think there must be a way to get more questions made. Like
outsourcing, like someone does it for us?
Or maybe there's already a source of questions.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure there is.
Depends what your topic is. I mean, if the topic is a broad-based topic that isn't specific to, say, LOA, there are websites that have that kind of thing. If you want to have questions about animals or about restaurants or whatever, there are databases on that kind of thing.
Well, sure. I'm pretty sure there's going to be one for LOA.
Okay. Find it. Because I also did a little test over the weekend. I wrote up a five-question quiz and posted it on Facebook to see if anybody would answer, just to see if there's any interest in it. And it took a little doing to come up with the five questions. So having a source would be really terrific.
Helpful. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause that's the downside of doing a quiz show. You have to come up with the questions.
That's more homework for us.
More week. Homework. Yeah. Like I don't have enough on my plate so far. Jeffrey says, what about win, lose or draw? I've heard that, but I don't know that game. You guys know that game?
Yeah, me neither. Mm-mm.
I don't remember it off my head.
I don't know that one. I've heard the name, but I really don't know anything about it.
But I doubt Jeffrey would steer us wrong.
True.
Probably not. He also suggests charades. Now, that'll be interesting. How do you do charades on an audio-only show? That's tricky.
Yeah. Well, they'll just have to subscribe to YouTube.
It works on YouTube, but... Yeah, that's pretty tough on a podcast. You have one person who's signing in the background. The others are reacting to it. And the listeners are saying, what's going on?
Like, why is it so
when
quiet?
When I'm doing my dancing.
Yeah.
Daniel is dancing in a very groovy fashion. Could do like an audio description.
Possible when you have the app going. Jeffrey suggests Pictionary. You can do that if you have an app where everybody can see the same screen that you're drawing.
Yeah, that's true.
That would work.
Yeah.
That would work.
Yep. So something along that line. Well, food ideas. Yeah.
I know the man who created Pictionary. I met him at a networking event for this group I'm in. Yeah.
Cool.
Where did you get the idea?
He's really cool. I can't remember. He did tell the story. But he's just a really down-to-earth, really cool guy.
Mm-hmm.
One of the coolest millionaires I've ever come across. Just so chill.
Those are my favorite kind of people, cool millionaires.
Hey, bro. How you doing? I'm good.
Yeah.
I have to ask him where he got all of his questions from. I'm sure he didn't write them himself.
No.
I'm sure he had people.
Yeah.
His people had people and all. Everyone had people.
Nothing like
that. I think this can work.
Okay.
I think it can work in a very bueno fashion.
Mm-hmm.
We'll give it some more thought. I figured we'd just kind of
throw it out there, see what happens.
See who salutes. Yeah. Why not?
See who salutes.
Well, that's part of it. You also have to find what's going to be, you know, interesting to the audience. And we could dream up games all we want.
Right. But if no one's going to play,
we got to try it out to see if actually somebody will actually do it, you know, if they're really interested in participating in it.
Right.
That's kind of where part of me wants to get the app out as soon as possible, because one of the things I kind of envision is a page on the app that has, for lack of a better term, video game controls, where you can interact with whatever is happening during the show.
Mm. It'd be pretty easy to do a stream thing image jig from YouTube, to do the YouTube window in there as well. So people can watch from their device and get like a notification, like, we're going live now.
Yep. Oh, snap. I like that.
I do like the idea of having it in the app, because I really do want to get everybody working on the same platform. Right now we send people to YouTube, we got them on Facebook, and we have them listed as a podcast. So, I mean, it's kind of spread out.
Are you streaming this to Facebook as well?
We're not live streaming to Facebook, although I was thinking about getting back to doing that as well. But I also want to kind of consolidate, you know, so we can always say, this is where you always go. You always go to the app.
Yeah. Yeah, one thing is easier for people to follow.
With options comes confusion.
Yeah.
And we don't want confusion now, do we?
No, no.
Plus, I am sure we have failed to get listeners who wanted to listen to us simply because for some people, it's challenging to subscribe to a podcast, particularly if you're on an Android phone.
Wow, shots fired.
Well, I'm not shooting at Android. I'm simply saying just because the Android doesn't have a built-in podcast app like iPhones have. So that's one more thing for people to install. And I know from experience, the more things you make people do, the quicker they lose interest.
Mm-hmm. Too many steps. And they ain't going to do it.
That's right. Yeah. So whereas I think most people now know how to install an app. Maybe not everybody, but probably most people.
It's a doable thing for many.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty much
get them a link
install.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
If you can get them to the install page and they click the button, they can usually handle that.
And that is that being ahead of the game, because no, it's half
it is. Battle. It is. Well, plus also, the only kind of app that Facebook will allow is a game app.
Oh, yeah, because they got everything else covered.
Well, they think.
Yeah, and they want everything else that might collect data. They want the... Anyway,
I saw a stat that said that something like 450 million people per day use Facebook game apps. So there's a fair amount of interest.
I don't use any.
I don't.
No, I feel like I'm left out.
A great way to give people some more positive inputs and to have a lovely impact in the world.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I keep thinking, I want it to be our app so that they always come to us. You know, they always come to our show. They always come to our thing for whatever it is they're looking for.
I mean, I feel people are really searching for escapism a lot of the time.
Yeah. You know?
Yep.
So if we're giving them that thing to escape to in an empowering way.
Right. Mm-hmm. There it is.
Boom. Boom goes the dynamite.
Yeah. Boom and click. That click was a bit whack, but you get the idea.
We're here. I got it.
I also see opening the thing up so that, for instance, if you wanted to do some of your master classes, you could do it on the app. You can bring people in there. If we wanted to bring other people in who were doing other stuff, it could be like a sort of like a community place, like a community hall for people to come in and do their stuff.
I'd happily donate some content to the app.
Yeah.
So have some grooviness with the LOA.
There you go.
We could even do some behind the scenes gag reels of Grass is Greener.
Yes.
That would be amazing.
Right?
When is it? When can I have it?
Talk to that guy.
Well, the first two episodes have been out for almost a year. The third episode is currently being edited.
I'm going to have to go back and listen to them again in order to get back up to date with the story.
Well, not really, because you can if you want to, because that's great for our ratings. But we do backtrack at the beginning of every episode to let you know.
No, but I want to kind of be in the flow of it. It's like
all right. Well, binge listen.
Because I want to do The Last Kingdom, but I haven't watched it for so long.
Mm.
I'm watching for 2 years. I'm going to have to go back to the beginning and get back into Ubert's world, you know, Babenberg, the whole Cornwallis narrative.
Yeah.
How many times has old boy got married? I don't know.
that's what the binge watching, binge listening thing is all about, isn't it?
Yeah.
Reliving that's something that you love and reliving it.
Yep, exactly.
It's like when I wasted all of those years of my life on Game of Thrones. And before each season, I'd watched them all. I watched the entire show from season one up to where we were and then watched the new season. And then I got to the end and I too wanted to stab Daenerys.
And I cheated.
Listening to the taunts, like my friend Samaya. Oh, are you sad about how your little dragon show ended? Yes, I am.
Your little dragon show ended. Yeah. No, everyone in my life was obsessed with it, except for me, because I watched two whole episodes, and I was like, yeah, I'm good. And then the whole big hype about season six, last season, it's going to go down in Chinatown, and I was like, all right. So I didn't bother watching the entire series. I just, you know, my mom informed me what was going on. My nurse informed me what was going on. And then I just clicked in. Didn't feel like I missed a thing. And watched season six. And I was also disappointed.
But the thing is, but do you know what? I need to, you know, good old author man. He done a great job with the books, putting together these really complex stories, which they had to simplify for TV.
Right.
Or had to make really, really long 22 episode seasons.
Yeah.
More of them. Which is going to be really expensive. So basically, the Gates won the day.
Yeah, yeah.
And also, you know, poor guy's probably going to pop his clogs before he finishes the book series. Mm-hmm. So Hollywood people are like, we're going to work out what the audience wants. No, you donut. We want the real thing.
Yeah. That wasn't
tarnished by your Hollywood. And stuff.
And stuff. And that's how he feels.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
pretty clear, I would have to say.
Yeah.
Jeffrey has an interesting comment here. I don't know that he mentioned it in terms of a game show, and I'm not sure even how to turn it into a game show, but I thought I'd mention it. He says,
okay.
I want to help people change and rewrite their stories.
I mean, that sounds like the foundation for a game show, but I'm not quite sure how to structure that.
Yeah, me neither.
I don't know either.
I mean, I feel like that's what we do anyway.
Yeah.
But
we're not dealing with ideas is what I'm thinking. I'm sure most of our listeners have ideas on how to rewrite stories.
Yeah, that would be more of a...
somebody else. It's our own stories we have trouble with, but everybody else's stories, oh, we can definitely help you with those, you know?
Right. I feel like on a psychological level, we need to take a few more classes before we can do something about that. In the meantime, in between time, do as we do.
Okay.
That's what I would say.
Okay.
Learn by example.
I'm allowed to share news, by the way. I completely forgot.
What do you got?
Me and Agra having a baby.
Whoa!
Way to bury the lead, bro!
Oh my goodness.
I'm allowed to share about it now.
How did you not? What? Okay, so many.
Three months, first trimester and all that stuff.
Wow, congratulations.
Yeah.
Do you have a due date or is it too early for that?
December 7th.
December 7th. All
right. Which is crazy because Olga's December 2nd. I'm December 5th.
Ooh.
It'll be December 7th.
And it's going to be a birth week.
Ariane, her daughter's December 11th. My nephew, Michael, baby Michael, is at December 11th. One of my best friends, Tom, his son, little Tommy, is December 11th. So I've got...
Wow. You're going to be broke.
Think December. No, I'm going to be abundant and overflowing.
You're right. I was wrong.
How could you pull that into my life, Alex?
I know. I can't call things into your life. I can't call things into your life. Only you can.
Oh.
Game such an inside match on that one, I think. But
Sure did.
Yeah. Law of attraction. Thank you for being the gift.
Like I said, learn from examples.
So yeah, I've been really excited.
With anything.
It was very difficult to keep it in for this entire amount of time. So I've been sort of, then I was like, I'm going to tell everyone. And I was like, yeah, that's not going to work. And I don't want to do like a Facebook post. Hey, look at me, blah, blah, blah. So yeah. As I've been speaking to people and it's been, oh, just by the way, you know.
By the way.
You know,
very subtle.
Pretending. So, okay. So yeah, next month we find out what it is, if you guys are going to do that.
Oh, yeah. We're going to do that.
Okay, good. Are we having a baby reveal? Are we having a baby reveal?
That's the thing these days.
Yeah.
Nah, I'm not really.
Come on! Yes. We should do a virtual baby reveal so we can all be there.
So.
Oh, man.
The doctor was like, it's a boy, but it might be a girl, but it looks like a boy, but just in case it could be a girl, but it's going to be a boy. That was the conversation.
I like that doctor.
It's a boy bit, so it's going to be a boy, but it might be a girl, but it's probably a boy, but you know, just in case it's not the boy that it is, it might be a girl. To say.
Gotta love that non-committal committal.
Yeah.
I'm saying it, but cover my butt.
So right.
Yeah.
Be, but it is, but it might not be. But hey,
which is kind of ironic. He's got a 50-50 chance, and he's still, you know,
he's got unless 50, it's a lizard.
Chance of it being a boy or a boy, but it might be a girl. But there we go. And that's it. So I mean, we'll see.
All right.
Yeah.
I like nice it. Well,
balance.
Do you have names nice. Picked out?
No.
Are you waiting to find out what?
Out of the blue. But I'm going to give you guys a wish. Can I?
Yes.
Let me see if I can do this. 1 second.
All right.
Because about two weeks before baby would have been conceived, we had this really interesting thing where Ariana, who's featured on the show before, I think, with a guest wave, Ariana had this little thing where she was very determined to say something to her mum. I'm going to see if I can share it.
Turn off sharing this end so you can share it at your end.
Yeah, there's a video that's... And if I can't, I'm just going to play the sound and you guys can hear.
Either way. But
it's crazy. So I'm just trying to find it.
You're going to show us something where it was out of the mouth of babes and the babe hit the nail on the head, is what you're saying.
The babe smashed the nail out of the water. Mm-hmm. I can't even find the video, so I'm going to do it on my phone. It's just creepy.
It isn't very often Daniel is lacking words. I mean, this is an unusual moment.
Well, he's multitasking. That's what it is.
Yeah. That's true. Well, while Daniel is trying to find that thing to share with us, why don't we take a moment to do our promos? We can get those done.
All right.
Sound good? So those of you who are not yet subscribed, first of all, you want to subscribe so you get notified when we have the app, because that's how you're going to find out. So become a subscriber if you haven't subscribed, so you can do that. And by the way, you also get 5 great shows a week that help lift up your vibration. So that's kind of like an added bonus, which is a really good thing. So become a subscriber. If you're not sure how to do it, go to the homepage of the website, loatoday.net. I actually did a little revising today to make things a little bit simpler for people with certain devices. And there's one that I need to look at a little bit more, but I'll be doing that. But it's pretty easy right now. Almost any device you got, it's pretty easy. Just follow the instructions there. And then follow us on YouTube as well, because we live stream to YouTube, and this is where Alex is, she's already smiling. She's anticipating this, I can see.
This is my favorite part.
So tell us how to do it.
You go to YouTube and search LOA Today podcast videos. And once you see our smiling faces, you click down below to the red subscribe button. Next to the red subscribe button, there's a little silver bell. Make sure you click all so you will always be notified when we are live.
I love the hand motions too. You've got them down pat. First you like that, and then it goes off like that. Good. I like that. You got your thing.
I think I found it.
Uh-oh. Yay! Okay, here we go.
Oh, no, you've disabled screen sharing.
Well, I disabled it at my end. You should be able to enable it at your end. Right now, I was saving it. I was only screening.
Disabled attendee screen sharing.
Really?
Yeah, you got to do it on your end.
Let me see if I can do it in advance. Okay, see if you can do it now.
Yes.
All right. I'm so excited for this.
All right. I'm just going to share the sound. Okay. We ready?
Here we go.
Ready.
show it to me. Where's school here?
Daniel, me, baby.
How about me?
No.
Come on. No, I think this is me.
No, this is me. And this is the baby. Daniel, me, baby.
No, I want to be here too.
No.
Why?
Because.
Did you hear it?
Yes, Daniel, me, baby.
And she was adamant that the three. So basically, I sent when Olga was here in January before she went back to New York to go and grab Ariana because she was at her dad's. Mm. I got this lovely little painting on a piece of clay. It's really cool because it's got some animation stuff that it does. But anyway, it had three hearts on it, and. Oh, got it right. It was for me, her, and Ariana. And Ariana's like, no, Daniel, me, baby. And she was like very, very determined. And she wouldn't let her mum touch it. And she's like, no, Daniel, me, baby. And she's got this very stern face.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It makes a lot of sense because everything that I know and everything I've ever heard since doing the show particularly is that kids are so much closer to source energy than we are because they were there more recently.
Right. Yeah,
and they've still retained a remnant of that connection. So it doesn't surprise me at all, but it's cool. It's cool whenever we have an example like that.
Yeah, it is.
And at the time, I was like, oh, how cute. She wants like a little brother or sister.
Two weeks later.
Maybe her dad can take care of that bit, you know.
Not so much.
Maybe that's what it's going to be. And
Are you excited?
Yeah.
Okay.
I get to mold a little human.
Yeah, that's going to be a great kid.
Mold. Thank you.
So, I already know what my answer is, but what kind of dad do you think you're going to be?
Awesome loving boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
Loving boundaries create structure to allow them to have fun and explore.
Which is really important.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's it. And being a good example, I think, because...
Yep.
The more and more I watch like Ariana around, it's like, yeah, she didn't just learn to be like that. That's observed behavior. Even genetic potential, people talk about what we come in at a soul level or from a DNA genetic potential, that still has to get activated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It gets activated based on the environment and the inputs that are given in the environment. So it's just, for me, it's holding myself to an even higher standard, not from overimportance levels, but a level of responsibility to said small human.
Hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, awesome news. Congratulations again.
Thank you very much. Very excited.
Jeffrey, noticed that you are already molding Ariana. Therefore, you are also molding the yet-to-arrive baby.
Yes, but I mean, I came into Ariana's life when she'd already had some pre-molding. So it's time that we spend, I mean, like time that we spend has been, there was large chunks, and also like she's got two houses, you know, she spends time with her dad's family and they've got different rules and stuff like that. Even stuff like bedtime. She's very persuasive. She's very, very, I get scared sometimes watching her strategic play at bedtime. All of a sudden, she's like, so her new one is, which her mum always falls for, Mum, can you put on a song? I'd like to dance with you. And she turns it on and she sings the words to the songs and she does, come on, Mummy, let's do teamwork. Come on, Daniel, let's dance together. And then she gets all the more affectionate. She'll say goodnight and then go and sit on a chair and start a new conversation. She's genius. Genius. Yeah.
It's like the next step above, can I have a story?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's like, can I tell you a story? Let's make a story together.
Right? Oh, she's devious. I like her.
She's good.
Really, really, really smart. So, she gets away with a lot more. I don't fall for it. I've grown up around small humans. Olga didn't have little brothers and sisters. Her brother Max is like a year and a half. There's like a year between them.
Yeah.
Like I've grown up around watching all the tricks in the book. So I'm like, yeah, that's great, Ariana. Let's dance all the way to your bedroom.
Yep. Big facts.
Let's dance all the way. So,
By the way, we also have another December birthday for you. Jenny's birthday is December 12th, so I just had to throw that into the mix.
My friend Micah's birthday is December 9th, and he is the lead singer of Sons of Serendip. Yes, that's. Oh yeah, okay. I know famous people. A lot of famous people come from my class, my high school class.
Okay.
He came in second place on America's Got Talent. That's
pretty hot.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
I won't be surprised when we see Ariana on that show one of these days.
I can see Ariana doing a hostile takeover. And selling the shares. I could see Ariana's like an Ariana Gordon Gecko-esque type character. Yeah. She's amazingly good. Amazingly good. So she and I have got like this whole thing where it's like, bro, I know what's going on. You know what's going on. So let's negotiate other terms later. So she doesn't really try it with me because she knows it's not going to work. Right. Unless there's witnesses. And then she basically is like, I have witnesses now. The cute factor up. It's like, okay, bro, I see you.
The cute factor.
Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong. If she does get onto, like, you know, America's Got Talent or whatever the show is, she will probably have whatever his name is, Simon. She'll have him wrapped around her finger within about 3 minutes, I would think.
I can see Ariana, like, developing a relationship with Simon before going on the show in order to secure victory.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. There's that deviousness again. Like it. I like it a lot.
Yeah. I'm not sure I'd call that devious. I think I'd call that incentive and
strategy.
I think of deviousness as a good thing. That's like you're like steps ahead of the game. You're thinking you're playing chess when everyone else is playing checkers. You know what I mean?
All right. Well, okay. That's fair then. That's what the definition is. That's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Devious. Yeah.
I'd call that assertive. Like, go for it.
Mm-hmm. Simon's a little easier to get now that he's had a kid. He's softened up around the kids because now, before he was just like, nope. But now he's like, be still my heart.
Well, it wasn't just the kids. He's from, I don't really follow the show that much, but I've seen enough clips to know he's pretty much hard on everybody's case.
Well, yeah, but it was like, some people are like, okay, they're kids. Come on. But he's like, I don't care. They need to know now that they suck.
I know your mother probably told you that this was good.
Hey, right. Right. She was wrong, and she lied.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes when people love us, they lie. It's a no from me.
Yep, exactly.
So, it's all bueno.
Were you Simon in another life? I'm just curious.
No, I don't think even Simon could have been Simon in another life. That's a, that's a one-time only offer.
Yeah, it is.
You are the one, Simon.
Although there have been a few, I guess, where he was totally shocked by the talent of the person. He thought he'd written them off, and oh boy, was I wrong about that one.
I do that all the time. I'll be looking at, I prejudge everybody on TV, only. And I'm like,
that's my safe space to be judged.
I'm like, ooh, they gonna suck. And then I'm like, oh, excuse me.
Hey.
Right?
Susan Boyle was one of the most shocking ones ever.
Definitely.
That was one.
I have a dream.
I was like, where did that come from?
Yeah. Scotland, and apparently.
I got to give Simon credit. He kept true to his word. He did turn her into a star. He gave her a career. He got her recorded. Got her stuff distributed. He did what he said he was going to do. So apparently he's got the follow through.
Did you know Susan Boyle is agoraphobic?
Which makes it even more amazing that she did what she did.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why she hadn't recorded a second album.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And as much money as she has, she will not move out of her very, very tiny apartment.
Yeah, that one I could have told you was going to happen the first day she was on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was pretty obvious, I think.
The lady's happy in her home. Let her be happy, can I say?
Oh, yeah. I'm just saying, money doesn't make the difference sometimes.
And every once in a while at the checkout line, I still see her CD as one of the things to buy there on the checkout line. So apparently it's not doing too badly.
If it's in the checkout line, probably is.
No, the checkout line is where they put the stuff that are the impulse buys, the impulse purchases. That's why they put them there. That's why all the gums
are
there.
Which store are you at?
That's why all the magazines and the National Enquirer types are there, because they're impulse buys. That's why they put them there. That's why People Mag is there and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not a successful impulse buyer, they ain't going to put you there. Supermarket, mm-hmm. let me tell you, supermarkets and convenience stores make their money largely.
Well, I don't know, because there's also, like, if you go to Walmart, they put their bins, their bargain bins right by the checkout. So I would.
Well, Walmart is a different philosophy from most stores.
Let's yeah. This is what I'm thinking. Cause I'm like, so you see CDs and movies in there and I'm like, oh yeah, I guess I will buy Land Before Time for a dollar. You know, it's like, it's a bargain. So I'll do it. But at the same time, I'm like, yeah, there's a reason they're in here and not.
Well, that's just it. They know who their audience is. They know who their customer base is. Their customer yeah. base are the people who are pinching some pennies.
Yeah. I think it's a great strategy to ensure that the beauty of Susan Boyle reaches the homes of people all over the world.
Mm.
From Scotland all the way to the East Cape.
Which is pretty darn good.
A snap.
So it's an effective strategy, if you ask me, just by virtue of the fact that we're discussing said strategy here and now.
True. Good point.
Years after the fact and in a very different land and country.
Mm.
And Simon still has to live down the fact that he thought she was going to bomb.
He knew when
he was going to bomb. He can be corrected. It's he's learned that.
And he gets paid regardless, which yeah. is what his objective is.
Whether you suck or not, he's still getting his check, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I got my check because I cut it myself.
Right? Not his voice, not his problem.
Yeah.
Yep. He's got a...
He can't sing himself, so.
Can he do anything?
Make money.
He produces and makes money, man. Yeah. What do you mean?
Well, that's what a producer does, but I mean any performance stuff.
No. He has zero talent in that range, but he's a good judge of it, apparently.
Yep. And publishing, I mean, that's where you make the big money. So he's in the mm-hmm. right place. He may not be talented, but he's smart.
Yeah, he is. Talented in different ways.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Some might say the way that matters in this instance.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's an interesting thing to talk about for the last 8 minutes of the show or so, because we haven't really talked much at all in terms of LOA directly.
Mm-hmm.
The show, and I'd really like to touch on it occasionally at some point during the show. So let's go back to kind of square one a little bit here. Mm-hmm. And we've been putting out a lot of ideas, and we were talking about game show ideas and so forth, just kind of spitballing some stuff. And we probably were inspiring some creative thoughts in the minds of listeners, you know, because when you get going, then it kind of inspires other people to do the same thing. So some mm-hmm. of them have some ideas that have come to them. Now, Daniel, you're really good at having ideas and following through and turning them into stuff. So I'm going to go to you first. Somebody's got a good idea that kind of came to them in the middle of the show. What would you suggest?
First and foremost, I'm not actually great at following through. I'm great at hiring in the people to make sure that the follow through happens.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically the same thing as what a publisher does. Or a producer.
Yeah, to some extent. I mean, for me, it's just know your realm of genius. I know what my strengths are. I study my archetypes ruthlessly, and I stick to them ruthlessly. I've got a new business that I'm starting with an old business partner who I haven't done business with for years. We're starting a new business right now. And we had a call this morning, and it's like, this is your realm of genius. This is my realm of genius. Making a list of what the other things are that are required in order to make this happen. And we're hiring in the people to do that. Then everything happens. Everything gets done. So first and foremost, it's before you're even receiving ideas, is to take a moment now, idea or not, and understand what's my zone of genius, what are my strengths, and where are my areas that I need to improve on, so that when it does come time to receive those ideas, you know, okay, here's my idea, I can brainstorm it or whatever. Maybe one of my areas that I need to work on is knowing that I'm not really that great at brainstorming and having someone that I can call to brainstorm with. So I'm great at brainstorming. People call me to brainstorm. We brainstorm together. And then you can, all right, I can do this. I'm good at this. I'm not so great at that. And then immediately ask yourself, what can I do right now to take this idea one step closer to being real? What can I do right now to take it off the paper? Even if it's sending an email, making a phone call, doing some research, something to take it out of the paper. Because when we talk about ideas and thoughts, we're talking about something that started to make its way from the ethers, from the quantum, into three-dimensional reality.
Mm-hmm.
What people do is they go, that's a great idea. They don't even get it pen to paper. Pen to paper, we've started to birth it a little bit. That's the, I can see the head. But if we want to get it all the way out, we need to take it off the paper and into the real world. Mm-hmm. And then if I ask, depending on the project structure, if I ask myself in terms of my zone of genius, and even if it's hiring someone to do this, but every day the project as a whole is making one micro shift, then the universe has given you the idea. When you start working with it to bring it to life, then the other resources to bring it to life will come in. I don't have the money to do it. Forget about not having the money. What can I do to get it off the ground? Even if it's just getting some research, even if it's just researching, maybe if there's funding available or whatever, take it one step. Take it one step. And that's what I would suggest, creating momentum to an effect that the universe has to follow through. You're creating yourself to be the most effective avenue for this thought to make its way out into reality.
Mm-hmm. So if I were to kind of summarize that, I would say the moment you get an inspiration to act, act. Don't wait. Just act. Don't plan. Don't think it out. Act.
Act. Even if, let's say, for example, I mean, I had an idea yesterday for something. And I don't have the people. I don't even know how much it would cost. I don't know if I've got enough money to do it. I don't know the distribution. But I do know somebody that knows a little bit about that world. So the first thing I did, I sent a voice note to that person. Hey, I need your help and support on this. I need to do this, 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 and this. He's then come back to me, said, that works, that doesn't work, that works, that doesn't work. During that time, I've remembered other people and resources that I know that are in that world too. Mm-hmm. He's going to let me know one thing, then I move. So every day now, I'm going to make sure I do at least one micro step, one micro shift, one little thing to make it more real. That's it.
Okay.
That's pretty cool. How about for somebody who doesn't feel like they have a network like you have? I mean, you've built up a pretty cool network over the years.
I mean, I had this conversation with my nephew yesterday. it's like, yeah, but my network didn't come from nowhere. It came from not sitting around saying I don't have a network, but saying, okay, this is my objective. These are the kind of people that I need to be connecting with in order to make it. What can I do right now to get in front of those people? Mm-hmm. Can I start being in the right Facebook groups, for example? Mm-hmm. Can I start listening to the right podcasts? Can I start joining the right bulletin boards and chat rooms? Can I start networking on, I mean, everyone's networking online. Can I start going to the right events and being around the right people? And then, because the people in my life now, not all of them are the people that I started out with, mm-hmm. but the degrees of separation took place. I mean, even the fact that I'm here with you, it's through someone who's through someone who's through someone, who's through someone. It's about six levels deep. And I don't even speak to everyone in that chain anymore. Not mm-hmm. for any bad reason, just don't. But right. here mm-hmm. we are today.
That's true. 6 degrees of separation indeed. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that is really the most important thing is that action step. And it's one that we tend to kind of skip it in LOA circles because people want to just kind of, you know, organically attract and leave it at that. And you're leaving a lot on the table.
My viewpoints on that, but
what's that?
I've got my viewpoints on that, but I've got a minute. So
well, do what you can in 2 minutes. You got a minute and a half.
They don't want to go anywhere. What that is their unconscious programs holding them in place under the illusion that because they're not LOA, they're going somewhere. They're not. The reality is if you look at any one of your LOA gurus, all of them are taking action. Otherwise, you wouldn't have known about them in the first place. Mm-hmm. People want to talk about, oh, I'm not going to lift a finger. I'm going to manifest. Your manifestation teacher's running Facebook ads, bro. Like, come on.
And there's someone on Facebook who's complaining about the fact that the manifestation guru is paying for advertising on Facebook. He should be just attracting it. Yeah. It's
just, okay. There's nobody that I know, and I've been diligently to make sure that I'm not speaking out of turn, that talks about this thing that isn't taking some action in order to bring it to life. Mm-hmm. The only people that make money from the idea of manifesting without taking any action are the people selling that lie that you don't have to take any action.
I think you're right.
So
you said you couldn't do that in a minute and a half. That was actually less than a minute and a half. You did very well.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Look at you go.
That was good.
Thank you. I do have to run though. I've got to go do a masterclass, which is going to be so much fun.
All right.
Yeah. Replay will be up. If anyone's listening, you can go to dreamwithdan.com/get HC, the letter HC. You get my free meditation that I just made. And we're going to do an email out at the end of the week letting people get hold of the replay for next week.
Look at you. Look how much you did in 8 minutes. I mean, that's just fabulous. Incredible. I'm glad we recorded this. This is for posterity. Later. Thank you, guys. Thank you, live streamers. Thank you, podcast listeners. See you all next time on MOA Today. Goodbye.